In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. Oh, as always, so great to be here with you. Today, got a great topic. We're talking about the Nativity of John the Baptist. Now, I know that the Solemnity is not until tomorrow, but we have a special guest on the show tomorrow. So I didn't want the Solemnity to go by without some discussion of it. So we're going to talk about today, the Nativity of John the Baptist. Now, why are we talking about that? the birth of John the Baptist. Well, think about this for a second. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, of course, right? Christmas. We celebrate the birth, I'm talking about the universal calendar now, the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary and John the Baptist. Not Peter, first pope, not St. Paul, not St. Teresa of Calcutta, not St. John Paul II, not St. Therese of Lisieux. And now, of course, in some religious orders, they do celebrate the birth as well as the death of their founder, but I'm talking about now on the universal church calendar. The martyrs, we celebrate their birth into eternal life, right? We celebrate their martyrdom when they were born into the heavenly realm. But as far as earthly birth, other than Mary and Jesus, John the Baptist, not even Joseph. Think about that, right? John the Baptist. So it's like, that's what I want to talk about. Why is John the Baptist so important? Even Jesus himself says, no greater man was there born of woman than John the Baptist. We'll talk about the Solemnity of John the Baptist today. And particularly, we'd love to hear from you today to get your calls on, it's one of the, probably the most famous line of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. I love that line. So would love to hear from you today. What are some of the ways that you had to decrease so that the Lord could increase in your life? That's what we're talking about today. The Nativity of John the Baptist on Beacon of Truth. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Well, this past weekend, as you heard me talk about on the show before, I decided to do trips with my kids as adults. You know, when they're younger, you take them to little family vacations on a staycation or to an amusement park or, some kind of fun family vacation because you're helping to build memories when they're young. Well, I thought, and this occurred to me even more since the pandemic, that, what about building memories with them when they're adults? So I decided to take each of the kids on a special trip and a child trip. And so we already did a trip with the twins. We went to Banff up in Canada and we had a great time up there. And then my wife came because they wanted her to come too. And so it's like, however the kids want to structure the trip. So I was going to take each of the twins individually, but they decided they wanted to do it together, which is typical of those two. They love doing things together. And so we went with my wife. And then my oldest daughter, it was her turn. And so we went this past weekend down to Big Bear Lake in California, in the just outside of Los Angeles area. And we went on nature hikes and went birding. My oldest daughter's a biologist, particularly an ornithologist, so she likes to study birds. And so we went on two birding hikes. The first one was pretty rugged. It was only 2.4 miles, but it was like 1,000-foot elevation change. And it was 2.4 miles each way. One way and then back the other way. And it was pretty steep and rocky, but it was fun. And we did see some birds. She saw several birds that she had not seen in person before. And she called it lifer or something like that. Like, you know, obviously in law enforcement, when I say lifer, that means something totally different than, I guess, in bird language. But she saw some birds. We saw some woodpeckers and some swallows and some, I forget all the different, but she was, and just to see her so excited. Oh, daddy, there's a da da da. She, you know, she brought two pairs of binoculars, binos, as she called them. And, my wife and I shared a pair, and she had a pair, and we, you know, she spot birds. I even spotted several birds. We saw storks too, which was unusual. It was just great. We just had a wonderful, wonderful time. The only downfall was the, power went out on Friday night and half of Saturday. Because I guess the city of Big Bear Lake, when the winds are blowing, they're afraid that the wind is going to blow down some power lines and start fire. So as a precaution, they cut the power. So we were without power for most of Friday evening and half the day on Saturday. But it was okay because we were mostly outside doing those nature hikes anyway. So we did a hike in the morning, then we had lunch, then we did a hike in the afternoon. Which wasn't as grueling as the morning hike, but it was still fun. Saw lots of, besides birds, we saw all kinds of little mammals and creatures and running around and lizards and stuff, reptiles. So it was a fun trip, and she was so grateful when we got back last night. So it was fun. So again, spend time with your kids, do fun things with them, and let them build memories going to last them for their entire life. Right. And so the next on the list is our last child, Angela. And our trip is not till next year. We're going to be going to Barbados, back to my country, where I was born. And because she wants to, she's into like total family stuff. And so we're going to go back and visit most of my relatives still live there. So we're going to go back and visit most of my relatives, mostly cousins who are still alive now. And she's going to do some more family tree work and all that kind of stuff. So we're very excited. It's going to be a great trip, but it's just going to be me and her on that trip. So great, great weekend. Hope you had a wonderful weekend as well. Again, we're talking about the Nativity of John the Baptist today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. How have you had to decrease so that the Lord can increase in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I also had a great time, not just during the weekend, but every day with the folks who bring in the show every day. And we have Michael McCall doing social media. And today, special guest call screener Tom Price. But we have our producer, a man after, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. Well, Ace is a man after my own heart. Ace McKay! Ace, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I love that you had your trip because my daughter Lena and I have decided we're going to do a daddy-daughter trip before she gets married.
There you go!
And so we're doing it. And she messaged me yesterday. She goes, what if we go do the Cherry Festival in Traverse City, which is like this big, like 4 or 5 day event. I was like, great. I said, I think it's like 4th of July. And she's like, oh, what if we just go on our own? I was like, I'm down. So it just shows that I have passed on my love of the Lord and love of cherries, and she can take it with her into her marriage and be well taken care of.
Yeah, and it'll be cool to see what traditions that the kids bring into their own families.
Right.
You know, things that you did, and then, of course, they may take it and do their own little twist on it, little spin on it, because obviously they're going to be with their own spouses, going to create their own family memories and things like that. But it'll be great to see what kind of things they bring in. But the most important thing is that you said it so well, the love of the Lord. That's probably the most important thing.
Well, and it's fun, too, because even over the last few Thanksgivings, how much they've taken out of my hands. They're like, hey, Dad, can I make this year? And I'm like, sure, you know. And then I'm like, man, that's better than mine. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, that's definitely the case with us, too, helping out more with Thanksgiving and meals around holidays and stuff like that, too. And I think I mentioned this before, too, that making some of the traditional foods from my country, from Barbados, Caribbean food, West Indian food.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Which we don't get anymore since my mom died. And my mom lived with us the last 3 years of her life. And since she died, I just don't get that food. I mean, we have Jamaican food, but that's like not, you know, that's like if you're from the South, it's not the same if you eat in the North.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so that's North Caribbean. So, but our type of food. So they took a stab at it, you know, during Christmas, and they make traditional West Indian foods. Again, not the same as mom, but I appreciate the effort, and it does taste good. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I remember years ago doing morning radio, we would always ask around Thanksgiving, what's the non-traditional Thanksgiving feast or food item that you have? And it was almost emphatic that there was a good handful or so that would always say Mexican food, and none of them had that heritage. It was just, you know, there's so many of us to prepare that amount of food. It was just easier to do tacos or burritos or whatever because it made more. And it was easier, more affordable for the amount of people that were coming. So I could kind of buy into that, too.
Yeah, and I love the Mexican food is one of the great comfort food cultures, I think.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, what I love, it's so easy. It's easier.
Sure.
You know? I mean, it's wonderful, tasteful, delicious, lots of umami, all great stuff. But compared to other cultures, very simple to make. I think that what makes it so effective and powerful,
yeah,
that food.
Yeah, so true.
Awesome. Nativity of John the Baptist here on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Woo! It's a Monday.
Starting off the week, bang your head. I love that.
He's exhausting the hi-hat, man. It's like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's your solo.
That riff, you know, like, I love when the drums and the guitar, not the bass too, but most of the drums and guitar are in sync like that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Dream Theater does that a lot in their music. In the
oh, man. The accents that the drummer for Dream Theater blows my mind.
I know. Yeah, Mike Portnoy is just nuts. Him and Stuart Copeland from The Police, some of the best dynamics I've heard in rock.
Yeah, agreed.
Or prog, you know, just awesome stuff. And I was just listening just now, and the guy was like, where are these doing those bends? I don't know. He's like doing the picking with the bending and stuff. Yep. Oh, that's just so much fun. So much fun.
There goes the
good
double
stuff,
kick.
Good stuff, man. Oh, yeah, double bass. Oh, I love that. Love that. And again, double bass, so the chunkiness, almost like percussiveness of the guitar muting the notes.
Yep.
And the double bass doubling that. Oh, all day.
Chill bump.
I can listen all day. Love that. All right. We're talking about the nativity of John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist, the last, if you will, the last prophet, really, when you think about it. He's the one, the nexus that connects the Old and the New Testament together. And on the Universal Church calendar, we celebrate his birth. Think about it, Jesus, Mary, and John the Baptist. Not Joseph, not Peter, not any other saint on the Universal Church calendar. Just John the Baptist. We want to talk about that. Obviously, the solemnity is tomorrow, but we have a very special guest on tomorrow. So I wanted to make sure that this wonderful solemnity did not go by without us talking about it. And that's what we're talking about today, Nativity of John the Baptist. Again, one of the great lines from John the Baptist, talking about our Lord, he must increase and I must decrease. So I'd love to hear from you. How have you had to decrease in your life so that the Lord can increase, right, in your life? How did that happen? We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget, if you're using Audible, you've got EWTN with you anytime, anywhere, especially with all of our podcasts and on-demand programs. You can check out Beacon of Truth, Soulful Psalms, the Playlist Edition, all of them, plus Sunrise Morning Show and more, all already on your Audible app when you search EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the psalms from the Ketuvim, or from the what's called the Writings, and part of that is the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, the Jewish hymnal, if you will, which we also celebrate in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. We have the psalms. We take one of those psalms, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're going to take a look, we'll hopefully get to the end of Psalm 77. So Psalm 77 is in book 3 of the Psalms, Psalm 73 to 89, and Psalm 73 to 83 are by Asaph. So Asaph in Hebrew means gather. And also with this particular psalm as well, 77, there are three psalms that are somehow connected to Jeduthun. Jeduthun in Hebrew means lauder or praiser. So Psalms 39, 62, and this one, 77. And so we see this notably in the prescript or superscript of the psalm, which is the entire first verse. Now we're going to pick up at verse 17, but the prescript says, Lemenzeach, Jeduthun, Ha'asaf Mizmor. So English, that's for the choir master, intoned like Jeduthun. So again, we see him, his influence, Jeduthun's influence in 39, 62, and 77, of Asaf, a psalm. And so Asaf wrote this psalm, gave it to the choir master, and said, I want this psalm to sound like Jeduthun. Like, so again, Jeduthun was another one of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. And evidently, Asaf heard this tune by Jeduthun. He wanted his psalm, gave it to the choir. I want this psalm to sound like this. And obviously, we don't know what that would have sounded like. There's no sound recordings back then. So although, you know, I've been hearing more and more on YouTube and some serious research by some Jewish scholars looking at trying to again, it's educated guess on what those tones would have sounded like, what the melody rhythm would have sounded like back then. But again, we don't know for sure. If you want to see a list, by the way, of all of the superintendents of the Musical Guild of Jewish Temple, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22, right? So 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22. But we pick up again at Psalm 77, verse 17. This is typical of the Psalms, crying out to God for assistance. That they're in some kind of distress, they're in some time of mourning, or something's going on, and they're asking God for help. And so now, in this part of the Psalm, Asaf is talking about God is a God that's all powerful. I know that God is going to come and rescue me from this distress. And see and part of what these psalmists do, they recount the power and the deeds of the Lord, and they call upon the power, because that helped. I think that in a sense motivating them, knowing that this powerful God is able to do these things. I know if he can do those things, he's going to come and rescue me, that he can help me, that he can save me, right? So that's the sense. All right, so verse 17, the warders saw you, O God, the warders saw you and anguished. Okay, and it's funny, we're talking about John the Baptist today, who was obviously the Baptist, baptizing people at the River Jordan. It wasn't the baptism of salvation, but the baptism of repentance, okay, in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, who through his blood on the cross would baptize us into his death and draw us deeply into the very mystery of salvation and paved the way to eternal life. So here, the warders saw you, O God. The warders saw you and anguished. Again, when I pray this psalm, we get to this part. I'm thinking about, for example, Moses in the desert, how the Red Sea was split in two. The waters, yielded to the will of God. You know, the nature bent its ways. It opened itself, and bent its will to the will of God, and those waters parted and Israel was able to pass through into freedom. You know, still had the 40-year trek in the desert, but they got past the threat from the Egyptians. The waters saw you in anguish. Yes. The depths were moved to tremble. The clouds poured down with rain. So we have a little bit of a parallelism here. The clouds poured down with rain. The sky sent forth their voice. Your arrows flashed to and fro. So again, Asaf is doing something that's often very typical of David. David will often use analogies from nature in order to make his point on how God is working. And Asaf does something very similar here. So he's talking about the storm, right? How God's presence is often felt in the storms. And here's the thing. When we're going through storms and trials and tribulations in our own life, You know, it says the clouds pour down with rain. Sometimes it feels like in life it's just pouring down on us. You know, I don't know how much more I could take of this rain. I don't know how much more I could take of this, you know, whatever's going on in your life at the time that's just got you down. This, again, like the rain, you're just soaked to the bone. You know, the thunder and the lightning and things are just moving all around you. You know, so Asaph is drawing the person praying this psalm into his experience of God's power and God's majesty, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst, God is present there. And we see this even more powerfully in the next verse, verse 19. Your thunderous voice was in the whirlwind, right? So God's thunderous voice, his magnificent presence in the whirlwind. And whirlwind, what do we think about? Tornado. Right? Again, more tumultuous things happening in our life, God turning and churning things up within us. You know, God's going to trouble the waters, right? Wade in the waters, right? God's going to trouble the waters. And that's what he's doing here with Asaph. Your flashes lighted up the world, right? So God makes his presence known, not through our individual lived experience, but also throughout the world and things that are happening in different parts of the world. God is making his presence known. The earth was moved and trembled. Again, a synonymous parallelism with verse 17. The earth was moved and trembled. Your way was through the sea, right? Again, allusion to the parting of the Red Sea and the Israelites going on the to the other side of the Red Sea. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, but the trace of your steps was not seen. Now, in the more colloquial version of Psalm 77 from the current Grail Psalm, it says, and no one saw your footsteps, right? No one saw your footsteps. But here, verse 20 here, which is more faithful to the Hebrew rendering, the trace of your steps was not seen. Right. So they passed through the river dry shod, and then the Lord covered over the enemies and obviously that would have wiped away any footprints or any trace. Right. And so that's what God does. We go through the tribulation, we go through the turmoil, and then God backfills and covers over all of that despair, all of that anguish, all of that hurt, all of that pain, so that there's no trace of it left in our lives. That is the key to divine mercy right there. And that's the power of divine mercy. You know, God coming into our life in a very deep, very powerful way to remove all traces and vestiges of those things that held us back from having the relationship that God truly wants with us.
Yeah, and I oftentimes feel like I'm not afraid of the storm, Lord. I just need a break from the rain. Like, it's just so, like, it's just coming at you, coming at you, coming at you. And then oftentimes what I find is he's like, just sit down in the boat. Because it's going to be rocky, but just rest in that. And sometimes it is just coming down on top of you and you're like, I can't take it anymore. But we can still rest in that storm. You know, there's songs written about that, you know, praising in the storm and, you know, resting when the waters are rough. I mean, all of those lyrics are true because that's how we can go to him.
Yeah. And sometimes you get to that point, you just feel, I can't go another hour. I can't go another minute.
Yeah.
You know, and God knows. I mean, he sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And you just got to have confidence. God is going to come through. God's going to do something. And usually it's more than we can even ask for or imagine,
right?
A lot of the times.
Always.
You know, because God's trying to not just do a short term, but a long term cure for the things that are ailing us. I love that.
Amen.
And then finally, verse 21. You guided your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So yes, God is the one that does the work, but he says you guided your people like a flock, the sheep, and are being shepherded, Moses and Aaron. So Jesus knew Moses. Aaron is the high priest, like that'd be like the Holy Father today, Pope Leo, right? Guiding us through the storms, through the tribulations to get us through the peaceful bliss of eternal life with God forever in heaven. All right, the Nativity of John the Baptist is what we're talking about today. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10, 833-288-3986. Yeah. tiny bit in my mind and heart know that we will rock.
Right.
God.
any Brian May influence. And plus, they wrote We Will Rock You as an anthem to get the crowd involved. So we're just trying to get you involved in this show as well.
There you go. See, the anthem brings you in to Beacon of Truth. There you go.
Yep. It's just a little, the melody's just like two notes.
Yeah.
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 It's
yeah.
truly homage.
Just there. That's awesome. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sibbers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about the solemnity, which is tomorrow, the Nativity of John the Baptist, which is a solemnity, right? Which is one of the highest forms of celebration. The highest is a solemnity, which is also a holy day of obligation. The second one is just a straight up solemnity, which is what tomorrow is. And so, again, think about it. You celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of Mary, and John the Baptist, not Joseph, St. Joseph, not Pope John Paul II, not Peter, the first Pope, not Paul, not any other of the great, amazing saints who have graced the church for the past 2,000 years. No, just John the Baptist. So we're going to talk about John the Baptist. Particularly, would love to hear from you. John's, in my heart, his most famous line, talking about Jesus. He must increase and I must decrease. Would love to hear from you. How have you had to decrease so that the Lord can increase in your life? That's what we're talking about today. John the Baptist, Nativity of John the Baptist. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call today, my friends. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to give a shout out to Tom and Ann, and a big congratulations to them as well as a part of Armor of God Catholic Radio. They have three stations now in Texas and, of course, serving families in that community and celebrating as a part of 7 years with EWTN Radio. So we just want to, again, shout out to Tom and Ann for all their hard work and definitely for the families that are also rallying in support to keep Catholic Radio strong in that area. So, again, 7 strong years with EWTN Radio.
All right. Always love hearing when our affiliates are celebrating anniversaries. That means they're continuing to roll up their sleeves and do the work in the Lord's vineyard, which is awesome. All right. We're talking about the nativity or the birth of John the Baptist today on Beacon of Truth. And would love to hear from you. Again, one of my absolute favorite lines in all of John's gospel, and particularly in the New Testament, is when John the Baptist, in his humility, recognize the fact that in order that he is that last kind of bridge connecting people, you know, to salvation in Jesus. And so he says he must increase and I must decrease. So would love to hear from you. How have you had to decrease? Or what kinds of things in your life did you have to decrease so that the Lord could increase in your life, right? In that same spirit of John the Baptist. Would love to hear from you today, my friends. How have you had to decrease so that the Lord can increase in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, John the Baptist played a unique role in salvation history. Again, I mentioned this in the beginning of the show. He was the bridge between the Old and the New Testament. So we have all the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Ezekiel, all those great prophets. And, you know, and in their writings, you know, they're pointing toward, you know, in a typological way or allegorical way, pointing toward the fulfillment of salvation history in Jesus Christ. Right. Well, we see that even in the writings of the Psalms. Right. Some of the messianic Psalms of fulfillment. Psalm 22, Psalm 110, written by David. But John the Baptist is unique in the sense that he is the one, the last prophet, you know, speaking about the coming of Christ, but yet also is a contemporary of Christ as well. So he actually got a chance to see and meet salvation itself. So he was that bridge between the Old and the New Testament. And Jesus himself even praised the greatness of John. He says, no one born of flesh is greater than John the Baptist. But at the same time, he said that even the least in the kingdom was greater than he. right? So the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, but yet at the same time, no one born of flesh is greater than John the Baptist. And what does Jesus also say? Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do that to me, right? So that, man, Jesus wants us to see loudly and clearly his presence in the presence of those around us, right? In fulfillment of the greatest commandments, love God and then love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so while John the Baptist knew, of course, he was his relative, right? His cousin. He knew and proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, and he acknowledges, the thongs of his sandals, I'm not even worthy to untie. Think about that for a second. He doesn't even consider himself worthy to bend down and untie Jesus's shoes. He, again, recognizes his humility before Christ. John never experienced, though, Jesus as the risen Lord, right? A privilege granted to the very least of the baptized. So that's why I think Jesus says even the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Why? John never experienced salvation. John, when he died, had to go to Hades and Sheol, right? That holding place where Jesus would go on Holy Saturday after his death on the cross and bring those souls to heaven. And so John had to wait, just like everybody else, Adam, Eve, Moses, David, Elijah, all the other people that came before had to wait until Jesus released them from that holding place, if you will, to bring those souls with him to heaven. And so that's why the least is greater than John, because we can experience that while we're still alive through baptism, right? That John, of course, was the Baptist, but again, he brought us a baptism of repentance. But it's through Jesus' baptism by death on the cross that brings us salvation. That's why the least is even greater than John, right? So we're making that beautiful connection. So John's mission was to prepare the way for the Messiah and to proclaim his coming, right? That was a John. And all of us, through our baptism, have that same mission to let people know about Jesus, right? That's the goal. Would love to hear from you today. And of course, John himself said he must increase and I must decrease. How have you, what things in your life had to decrease? How have you and your humility had to decrease so that God could increase in your life? That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. How have you had to decrease so that God could increase in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Gail is reaching out to us on YouTube, watching and listening on YouTube right now. She says, thank God for you. I'm blessed to have turned this on when I did. Thank God for you, Deacon Harold. Thank God. God bless you. You have no idea how you just helped me. Well, Gail, thank you. God bless you. But it's not me. Again, I'm just the instrument. God's the musician. All I'm trying to do here with this show is to help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ, right? I'm just trying to be a finely tuned instrument in God's hands. And I'm grateful that God has used today's show and today's topic to bring you some peace and comfort for whatever is going on in your life. So thank you so much, Gail. We also have Sue on YouTube. I cannot understand why John the Baptist scolded a man committing adultery who wasn't Jewish. No chance for Herod to become a Christian. Yeah. So now Herod, remember, Herod loved listening to John. Right? He kept him in prison. He kept him at arm's length, but he liked listening to John. So there was something about John's preaching that appealed to him. In fact, John probably would have stayed alive for a longer time had not Herodias, his wife, asked his daughter, you know, again, the weakness of men, you know, so Herod, in kind of a drunken stupor, just spurts out, you know, whatever you ask for, I will give you, even if it's half my kingdom, right? And while he's intoxicated. So Herodias, his wife, takes advantage of that situation, goes to the daughter and says, hey, tell me you want the head of John the Baptist, you know? And so I'm sure that he was disturbed at that request, but since he made that request in front of all those people at that celebration, he couldn't go back on his word. And so he had John the Baptist beheaded and his head brought to the daughter. So John the Baptist, you know, probably again, sometimes we have to, well, we don't have to, and Paul did the same thing. He berated, not berated, but spoke strongly and sternly to some people, you know, because especially we men, sometimes we need to be spoken to firmly and directly in order to get the point of what someone is trying to say to us. You know, and so I'm sure that John the Baptist spoke to sometimes, and again, St. Paul, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's why some, what, will I commend you in this? No, I will not. Woo! Almost like he's yelling in 1 Corinthians 11 at the Corinthians because of the liturgical abuse that's happening there. You know, so yeah, sometimes we need to be spoken to firmly and directly in order to get the point. All right, we're talking about the Nativity of John the Baptist, a solemnity on the universal calendar of the church. We celebrate the birth of John the Baptist, which is unique because, again, the only other births we celebrate are Mary and Jesus and John the Baptist. We're talking about today what things in your life had to decrease, or how did you in humility had to decrease so that the Lord could increase in your life. That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary Beth is calling from Marietta, Ohio, and she is listening on Alexa. And Mary Beth, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you so much. Where I have had to decrease is I am battling something called aggressive lymphoma. And so I'm having to go through a series of, I think it's six rounds, and a round is a whole week of chemo. And I used to be able to do a lot of things with the church, for the church, on my own, kind of be a lead dog. And now I've had to pray about who should be in the pack, you know, and I'm not going to be around forever. Nobody is. And it's good to share those joys and responsibilities anyways, and you get your best ideas that way too. Like, we're going to start a Women of Grace here in Marietta, Ohio.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
A bunch of other programs, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And you're going to be helping to start that and get that spearheaded?
Yes. I was kind of thinking of the number, what might be an ideal number to facilitate. I know Johnette would have suggestions, but, you know, the number 7, doesn't that come up in the Bible a lot?
I keep seven is a number of completion. It's also a number of perfection. 12 is also a good number. 12 is a number that talks about a foundation. You know, we have the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. You know, so 7 or 12 might be a good number to start with. And you know, who else God may bring in. You start with 7, you go up to 12, and then we'll see what God does from there. You know, but with, and I'm assuming Johnette would agree, and I'm not sure how big she envisions those groups, but my guess would be if it got too big, you would split off and have two groups, you know, because you don't want that to become so big that it becomes impersonal, you know. And that's my philosophy, Mary Beth, for pilgrimages. You know, I like to keep my pilgrimages small so that, you know, we can truly experience not just those amazing, awesome, beautiful pilgrimage sites, but also the camaraderie with each other, you know, so we can get really to know the other people in a beautiful way that experience it. So Mary Beth, I think that's the same thing with what you're doing there. And God bless you, man, going through those rounds of chemo and treatment and recognizing that, you know what, I love how you said you need more people in the pack. You know, it's not just about me. You know, I realize now in this humility, the weakness that I'm experiencing through the chemo, that I need to bring other people into my story, other people into my life to help me. Especially, I could tell you, Mary Beth, as a man, let me speak for myself. That'd be hard for me to do. I like doing things on my own. I don't like relying on people a lot. Although, obviously, I have a team of people that help me with my apostolate. But I'm talking about helping me personally. You know what I mean? Outside of my wife. And so you taught me something today, Mary Beth. Maybe be a little more open to allowing people in a little bit closer, especially when I'm going through something. Allow more people in the pack. I love that. Thank you for your beautiful call and your witness, Mary Beth. I'm sure that you've inspired other people that may be battling cancer or going through something, and they have a diminished capacity. They don't feel like they can do the things like they did before, but that just opens the door to another opportunity for God to be able to do something more special in their life. And you're a beautiful witness to that, Mary Beth. So thank you so much for your call. And we love to hear from you. We're talking about the nativity of John the Baptist, the birth of the last prophet that connects the Old and the New Testaments together. And we're talking about John's famous line, speaking of our Lord, he must increase and I must decrease. So how have you had to decrease, or in humility had to decrease some things in your life so that the Lord could increase? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So again, that's our mission today, following the footsteps of John the Baptist. He prepared the way of the Lord. Right? And fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, preparing the way of the Lord, making the path straight. Right? And so we are called to plant the seeds of faith, and then just we plant the seeds of faith and then get out, you know, leaving the fertile ground in the hands of the Lord to nurture and to cultivate. You know, so we don't have to do a whole lot of work, but we have to be willing to do something in humility to allow God's power to shine forth in our efforts. So the birth of John was a special blessing to his parents, who were already advanced in age, and particularly to Elizabeth. So when the birth took place, it was a special occasion for rejoicing amongst their relatives and neighbors. When they heard the Lord had shown her great kindness, they shared in her joy. Right? I mean, who wants to rejoice at the coming of a new little one, a new baby into our lives? So, and remember, John the Baptist leapt in the womb of his mother Elizabeth at the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She arrived, and the greeting reached her ears. So Mary, we talked about this before when we were doing our reflections, our life in Christ, our reflections on the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, that she was the first monstrance who held in the tabernacle of her womb the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. And John the Baptist began to adore our Lord while he was still in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, and recognizing the presence of God in the voice of the Blessed Mother. You know, and so again, we're talking about in celebration of the solemnity of the nativity of John the Baptist, how you have to decrease. What things in your life had to decrease so that the Lord could increase in your life? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So in accordance with the custom, John the Baptist was circumcised within 7 days, on the eighth day of his birth. And this ritual initiated a child into the covenant. And he showed that to show that you belong to God's people. It was also the day on which the child was officially named. So in accordance with the usual tradition, the child was expected to be named after his father. But Elizabeth said, no, he shall be called John. And this came as a surprise because no one else in that family was named John. Remember, because Zechariah had to be silenced because he doubted the angel's words. But when he wrote down on the tablet, his name is John, his tongue was loosened. We have the beautiful Benedictus prayer. This act of obedience on the part of Zechariah resulted in speech coming back. He began to glorify God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. Right? That beautiful prayer. So in celebration of this birth of the last of the heralds of Jesus, the last of the prophets, the nativity of John the Baptist, we're talking about his beautiful line, I must decrease, he must increase, I must decrease. How have you had to decrease so that the Lord can increase. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Elaine is a first-time caller calling from Missoula, Montana, listening on St. Michael Radio. Elaine, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey there. It's so great to be with you. I am so blessed by your broadcast, and I couldn't help but think of the wonderful gift that God gave us. The smaller I got, the more children we had. We had seven, and my husband and I have been married 50 years, and it was not easy to have seven kids, especially in our day and age, and all of the people that give you a hairy eyeball, but... We love our children, and we're so grateful that we could be smaller and allow God to fill us with his gift of life, that he would grow larger and be greater.
Wow. Elaine, that was one of the most powerful witnesses I think I've heard on this show. I love how you phrase that. Say that. You had to become smaller so that the Lord could increase your children. Oh, my. Say that again. That was absolutely beautiful.
You know, it wasn't going to be my will. It was going to be his. And he gave us seven amazing children. And it is clear that his life, his love, his hope in all of us is manifest in our children. And we are smaller. We'll soon be old and dying, you know, but our children go on and they have children. And it's a beautiful thing to witness the increase of God's love.
That is so good. That I'm going to steal that. I'm going to steal that for one of my talks, Elaine. That is so good. That is a beautiful way of phrasing that. You know, wow, that is powerful. I am so, so grateful for your call. And see, this is why we do shows like this. I mean, the way our callers are blessing people with their testimonies, and especially the way Elaine put that, what a wonderful way to think a pro-life. The smaller we got, the more children we had, and the increase and the multiplication and the generations. And you think about the Old Testament and David and all those that talked about how fruitful and be fruitful and Ephrata in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? So we become small so the Lord can become large in our life. I love that. What a great blessing, Elaine. Would also love to hear from you today. How you had the decrease that the Lord could increase in your life. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Leslie is a first-time caller calling from New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on Community Catholic Radio. Leslie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Yes, just loved to hear this topic right now as I'm driving home from being able to help my sister who has been going through a hard time for about a year. But I am a trained, skilled, degreed employee of a hospital. We'll just keep it broad. And for the past year, I have been searching for a job while recovering from a surgery. And the Lord is just so incredible how he just puts up firewalls. As much as I and my husband believe that, you know, I need to be employed, I need to be working, I need to be pulling in an income, I'm in my 50s. The Lord is so clearly, I know people in the community that are like, why are you not getting, like, I'm applying for these jobs and it's not happening. I am literally not necessarily friends with the bosses, but they know me. And for whatever reason, I am not getting these jobs. And when I tell you, I am doing things here and there for people who are struggling with organizational skills, with their kitchens are just closing in on them in clutter and just life has gotten away from them. And I'm going in there and I'm helping them clean out the clutter. And while I'm there, I'm evangelizing to, like, their daughter who's home from school, from college. truly struggling with anxiety, and I'm explaining to her that, you know, this is a good example of the clutter in our heart and in our mind where we can't have Christ has any room, and just evangelizing why I'm doing all this, you know, being available for my daughter-in-law who has come baptized and came into the faith in San Diego, being able to be there for those ceremonies. Their marriage got blessed. Just so incredibly mighty things that is occurring with, I say, the red wall, the red sea that Christ has got in front of me, and I am just standing in front of it and still doing his, trying to do his will.
Oh, beautiful. What a great way to end. So what a beautiful call. Andrew, we can't get to you today. First time caller. I'm going to answer your question about John the Baptist's birthday tomorrow. Tomorrow we have Dr. Shane Owens from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And until then, may Almighty God bless you, my friends, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.